A new pile of money from the West for Ukraine as that ceasefire is announced. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. There's the deal to end fighting in eastern Ukraine worked out today with Russia, Ukraine, Germany, and France. Also today, the International Monetary Fund announced a huge package of emergency money to shore up Ukraine's crumbling finances, $17.6 billion. Here's the head of the IMF, Christine Lagarde, in Brussels today.
The Ukrainian authorities are demonstrating a determination and a courage to reform like we had never seen. And as an example of that, they have, for instance, not only reached their targeted deficit for this year, but they have exceeded the objective.
For more, let's turn to the Ukrainian capital, Kiev, where we find the BBC's David Stern. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
So this pile of Western support is headed Ukraine's way. The country seems to have needed it and needed it quickly.
Well, yeah, that's putting it lightly. It needed it desperately and it needed it immediately. Ukraine is facing economic meltdown, so they needed this money as quickly as possible. It's hoped that this will stave off economic collapse. And at the same time, there's hope that perhaps maybe even it will turn the economy around. One of the points of the revolution, if you remember last year, was to make this an uncorrupt, Western-leaning, market-oriented economy. And this is what these reforms and what this economic aid hopefully will allow them to do.
What about the economics of daily life in, for instance, Kiev? What do you see? Can you get goods?
There are lots of, at least in Kiev, lots of empty shop fronts. The population is very much worried about what's going to happen. People are having trouble paying their bills. Inflation is growing, so everything is a lot more expensive, obviously. The exchange rate is just skyrocketing. This is an economy that's dropped by at least 7% last year.
All right. The BBC's David Stern in Kiev. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's check the numbers. The 100-share index in London is up 0.2%. The DAX index in Germany is up 1.6%, in part as market players watch tensions ease in Ukraine and therefore with Russia. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.5% range. Now, when you think of the luxury car company Mercedes-Benz, how could you not think New Jersey? That's where its U.S. operations have been headquartered, Montvale, New Jersey. But like many a car company, Mercedes is moving south. Marketplace's Noel King traveled to Atlanta to look at what's fueling the trend.
Mercedes is expected to bring around 800 jobs to the Atlanta metro region, and the average wage is about $78,000 a year. So when the car company announced it had chosen the city of Sandy Springs, Georgia, for its new HQ, Mayor Rusty Paul was thrilled.
What you say to yourself is they looked at us and they liked us. If you remember Sally Field's Academy Award acceptance, you like me. You really like me.
You like me.
You really liked us. You liked us better than everybody else, and you're coming here.
People in Metro Atlanta like to say that good old-fashioned Southern hospitality attracted Mercedes. But Mercedes U.S. CEO Stephen Cannon says the move also makes a lot of financial sense. He says the high cost of living in New Jersey, where Mercedes has been based since the early 70s, was a turnoff for employees who were being recruited from out of state.
I've had many, many instances where we've tried to bring people in from outside of the tri-state area. They came in, they saw the cost of housing, they saw the cost of living, and they had to say, sorry, I can't make this pencil for me and for my family.
Georgia also offered incentives like job tax credits to Mercedes, totaling around $23 million. But Cannon says they weren't really a factor.
We weren't out to chase the largest pile of incentives. We were out to find the place where we could set up shop and build the next 50 years of this company's success in the United States.
Georgia has lured several companies over the past few years, like Veritiv and Cricket Wireless. And the state is known for its business-friendly policies. Low taxes, low wages for entry-level workers. It's a right-to-work state, which traditionally means weaker unions. Wesley Tharp, an analyst with the Georgia Budget and Policy Institute, says business-friendly doesn't always mean people-friendly.
It's very good for companies that want to do business in Georgia in a narrow quarterly profit type sense. That tends to be equated with Georgia has a well-oiled economy that works for everyone, works for workers, for families, and for businesses.
But he says Georgia still has one of the highest unemployment rates in the country, and even with the new corporate players, many of the jobs that are being created are low-wage jobs. In Atlanta, I'm Noel King for Marketplace.
We'll be right back. For people from Detroit, the corner of Michigan and Trumbull provokes powerful emotions. Professional baseball has been played there dating back to at least 1896 and was home to the Detroit Tigers for decades, Ty Cobb, Hank Greenberg. But that stadium was torn down a few years ago, and now a developer is hoping to pull off a grand real estate experiment by asking the public to invest. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
Whether Detroit's struggling or not, magic still happens. And project developer Eric Larson says Old Tiger Stadium was full of it.
This is a place that people met their spouses in the upper deck. This is a place that, you know, their grandfather's ashes were sprinkled in the outfield.
On this hallowed ground, with city approval, Larson would build a $32 million development with retail, residential, and yes, a ball field. What separates this project is anybody with $100 can invest. He's crowdfunding to raise about $4 million for the project. Jake Kelly with JLL Brokerage in Texas says this is a new way to raise money for real estate deals.
It certainly has potential for being very beneficial to the development community as well as the general public.
The unknown, says Kelly, is what happens to the investment of that couple who met in the upper deck if the deal goes sour. But Larson, the developer, knows this is more than money. It's an investment in a city and its people. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Consumption or story creation? Learn more about a new project we're doing called The Transaction. Facebook the word Marketplace to submit yours. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.